the spiritual, the paranormal, angels,
demons,
off-worlders,
UFOs,
conspiracies,
weird weather, seen and the unseen. It's Sight Unseen with your host, psychic and medium, Danielle Agnew.
Hey, you guys, how are you? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to Sight Unseen, only on mtradio.net, broadcasting out of the big sky of Billings, Montana. How the heck are you guys midweek? This is awesome. I am getting ramped up to head out on a great big trip here, which is going to be fabulous. We're going to have some really wonderfully hand-selected best of shows for the next following few Wednesdays. I will be out of the country in Italy, and I will be partaking in some family time. I will be enjoying myself along with just getting into the groove and the spiritual groove of a completely different new place. So I am really looking forward to that. And I am excited to bring you guys back some spiritual information from abroad. You know, I'm going to be visiting the Vatican, going to be visiting where Francis of Assisi did a lot of his work, going to be visiting Pompeii, going to be going all over the place, the cradle of civilization here, people. So I'm really looking forward to being able to, I have a feeling that I'm going to come back with some really interesting perceptions. And I am really looking forward to that. Very much so. Gang, you know, of course, as usual on this show, this is a call-in show. I love to have you guys give me your calls wherever you're calling from. It doesn't matter where, as long as you have an internet signal and you can hear us, then that's good news because that means I can reach you. You can join me in the chat room here at mtradio.net/chat. You can also join me, call me. Call us up. We have a call-in line, a live call-in line at any time during this show, guys. Don't forget you can call me at area code 406-545-4496. So I'm looking forward to that, too. I do a lot of translation for your angels, and I would love to be able to help you with any issues that you guys are feeling like you have. So come on, give us a jingle. Give us a jingle. Gang, you know, before I go on this trip, before I go abroad, because I am abroad, but no, shut up, really. I would like to talk a little bit about how we're structuring our lives right now. You know, I was just talking to our program director, Sean, as I came in, and I'm posting about the show right now on Facebook because I had set up this Hootsuite thing and I did it wrong and it didn't go through. And of course, you're getting ready to leave the country for many, many weeks, and that has been in my brain. And what's so interesting to me is priorities and where things are falling and how much time we seem to be lacking in our lives right now. And one of the things that I was thinking about coming over here, I got done with workout, got something to eat, was zipping right over here to the station for the show tonight, and was frustrated because Hootsuite, you know, actually I would love to blame this on Hootsuite. It was user error. It was something I did wrong on my posting. However, the whole time I'm thinking about all this, I'm thinking, man, why? Why do we feel like we don't have enough time? And obviously, we've had a pretty steep time compression, you guys. And I talk about that a lot on the show, so I'm not going to labor you to death about the time compression that we're having. But it's been very interesting for us to be able to actually get everything together in our life, feeling like we don't have enough time. And even though I'm blessed with this trip, it was actually a present from my father's family. It was this present to come to Italy with them. It was a gift. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going. And the whole time, I'm thinking, wow, I'm so excited to go. This is going to be fabulous and absorb the spiritual culture. And I have a feeling that there's some spiritual work that I need to do over there. I'm going to be working on my book while I'm over there. Just some things I'll be doing. And this weird feeling of, oh my God, but I'm taking 3 weeks out of my life, you know, and I've got all this work I need to be doing and all this stuff I need to be doing. And what I found so fascinating about all of that was that how can you sit there and freak out about spending 3 weeks in Italy on an all-expense-paid trip when you're worrying about leaving time back home? What is that about? What have we become as a society that you can't even enjoy the idea of going to Italy because you're freaking out about, oh my God, that's 3 weeks of work I'm not going to do, or that's 3 weeks of whatever project I was going to be working on that's not done. And frankly, I think that's kind of sad. I do. I was thinking about Well, quite frankly, I was thinking about what a tool I was for freaking out about going to Italy for 3 weeks. But the other part of that was that as you go into your day and as you feel like time becomes the most powerful currency, how are you spending yours? You know, I was talking to my wife about things that pull us away from what we want to do in our lives. And this is actually a pretty big spiritual physics issue because we could make up excuses for anything in the world. Oh, poor me. I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. I'm not good with time management. What's my problem? This is an issue of spiritual physics, you guys, because time is relevant to what we are going to spend it on. And yes, the sun rises and sets, but that's actually because we are on a rotating orb that has nothing to do with time. We set our time clocks by the rotating orb and the sun rising and setting and all that. But time is a different deal. And it really has to do with intention. It has to do with intention. I have been kind of a fail this last week in certain areas of my life because I've been so focused on preparing to be gone for 3 weeks out of the country that little stupid things like Hootsuite that I could do in my sleep, I didn't trigger something properly and none of my posts went out. I mean, that's a stupid thing. However, my focus was split because I was choosing to be so weirded out about my schedule or whatever that I didn't take the spiritual time to focus. And I was talking to my wife about time management and why it's important and what the deal was with it. And what it really came back to roost was, with me anyway, was accountability, you know, and accountability is a big, huge part of spiritual physics. I came in here, I have a responsibility as a radio host at this radio station. It's a responsibility to go ahead and promote the show. And not only do I want to promote the show so you guys know I'm actually on air and you can call in and all that, but it's also a responsible thing to do for the station. And I just got so fragmented and wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, and mistakes happen. However, the point being that if you own your mistakes, if you own your accountability, in any given situation, it changes the spiritual dynamics of that situation. And a lot of us like to use, I don't have time as an excuse. I don't have time. Well, or I won't make time, or I don't have any more time left to give because I'm worn out. That's what I'll tell people. You know, I might off the cuff in a quick moment say, well, I don't have time to get to that. What that means is I am now out of accessible time that I am willing to give to any other outside endeavor. I'm out of time. Because now I'm just scraping the barrel as far as focus goes. I'm scraping the barrel as far as intention goes. And I'm making mistakes. And when I start to hit that spot, I am literally out of time. Or I cannot allocate my time wisely. And I find the I'm busy excuse to be fascinating. Why are we afraid to tell people that we simply can't or won't or don't want to? What is that about? I mean, since when is it so hard to say, you know, honestly, I am just too tired tonight. Thank you so much for the invitation, but I'm not going to meet you guys for drinks. You know, why do we feel like we have to have some big reason to get out of that? And that has to do with spiritual physics. It has to do with authenticity and accountability. Have you ever noticed that a lot of us have that one friend that pushes and pushes and pushes? Oh, come on, man. One more beer. Come on, man. Just go out. Come on, man. What's your problem? That guy or girl. Come on, what's your problem? Oh my God, does your boyfriend own you? What's wrong with you? Come on, are you chicken? What's your deal? That girl. You know, these people, for the most part, are in our lives, I think, to challenge our ability to actually execute our boundaries. I think they are doing us a service, not a disservice, by repeatedly coming forward with a rather obnoxious form of behavior, but it is a form of behavior all the same, and challenging our way that we use time. One of the things that I find fascinating when I'm dealing with my clients is when people come to me and they say things like, my wife won't let me have the time to get to insert hobby here. And I'm thinking, is she holding time at gunpoint? Has she duct taped your wrists to the slab of no forward movement? I mean, what the heck does that even mean? She won't let me have the time. Has she taken time hostage? I'm sure she has. With a hairpin and a hairdryer and she's going to kill it with kind. What the hell does that even mean? And typically what that means is I don't have the communication skills to sit down and talk with my spouse about my needs. Or I am using my spouse as an excuse so I don't have to do something. Guys, this is spiritual physics. This is accountability and authenticity. And when we're finding that we're running out of time for things or something in our life is really freaking us out, and that's happening a lot with people, it's okay to say, wow, I'm really freaked out. I'm not going to be able to do this right now. Or I'm actually at the limit of where my time is, and I would love to join you, but I can't. Or I need to shift my time because there are different needs that my life is calling for. You know, people who are truly your friends in your life and your family in your life, who don't expect you to live your life according to their agenda, will understand this. They will understand this. They're not going to be like, oh my God, what are you talking about? This is crazy. They will understand the fact that you yourself do have, you've got needs, man. You've got a life. When we execute our needs and our authenticity, and we do say, hey, guess what? I'm having a really hard time. I'm whatever, insert it, whatever. And somebody else discounts what you're saying and pressures you to do what they want you to do anyway. It's not about acquiescing to that individual. It's time to kind of just put the scene on pause, like when you're watching a DVD and you need to get more junk from the fridge, and replay that and watch for those spiritual physics of authenticity. Because if somebody's pushing you and you're saying, you know, I'm going to go home to my family, or I just don't feel like going out tonight. You know, I'm going to take some time for myself and chill out at my house and watch a movie and whatever. If somebody is pressuring you in spite of where you are at in your life, and in spite of what you're saying, it's not about you anymore. It's not even about what your needs are. It then becomes a power struggle between you and this person. And it makes me sad because I've seen a lot of people get bullied, basically, or pushed into doing things that they really have no interest whatsoever in doing. And that's bad. And then nothing ever works well when that happens. You know, when there are obligations that we have that we accept because we get pushed into them, we resent it the whole time we're there. Then there's this energy of resentment there, and we don't do a very good job, and we're looking for 55,000 ways to get out of it, you know, because nobody wants to be doing something they don't want to do. And again, all of this has to do with, quite frankly, honesty. Authenticity. We love to blame everything else in our life. Oh, I don't have time, and my wife won't let me, and my husband won't let me, and my boss won't, whatever. Buck stops with you guys. You know, I'm sitting here packing for Italy going, oh my gosh, how am I going to make up this time when I, you know, 3 weeks of work and all these other things that I've got going on? And it finally hits me, you're not. You have chosen to do something else with your time. You're not going to make it up. You're just going to do something else with it. And that's actually true. So, you know, when you go into this next week, just watch the my time. Watch the authenticity there. Watch the reasons you do things. You know, we always want to say, I don't have enough time to get to this or that. What secretly that means is it's not a priority. And maybe it's okay that it's not a priority. Maybe it doesn't need to be a priority. That's okay too. But to say it's not a priority, that matters. If it's not, it's not. Own it. The people in your life will understand. If they don't understand, they don't care about your life because they want you to live their life. And that gets really awkward because you can't live anybody else's life but yours. So don't worry about lost time. Just remember, these are simply choices that you have made. Choices. And you lay your choices at the feet of where you need to. If people can accept it or they can't, guys. So that's one of the observations that I was drawn to today. If you're listening and you want to join the conversation, you want to talk about a loss of time that you've had, or maybe you've been pressured into doing something you didn't want to do, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Area code 406-545-4496. Let me talk to your angels on your behalf about exactly what it's been like to maybe not lay some boundaries down that you've needed to. That's never any fun. You can also join me in the chat room, of course, at mtradio.net/chat. Come in here and talk to me. I love it. You know, it was brought to my attention last night in a rather alarming way that our oceans, you know, we talk about the oceans being full of garbage and this big giant wall of garbage that's floating in the Pacific Ocean that's as big as a state. Well, it's not a solid patch of garbage, but it's a big garbage clump that just kind of floats around out there. And I was thinking about our need to associate ourselves with such a catastrophic thing. And what I mean by that is, yesterday I went to see San Andreas, and it was fun. It was in 3D, watched the California shake apart in 3D. It was actually a very well done movie, very well done movie. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, we are so preoccupied with our demise. This is unbelievable. You got to see Tomorrow World. I talked about this last week on the show. You need to see Tomorrow World. And it makes a little sense out of the fact that we are absolutely obsessed with our own demise. But there we were in the matinee with my 3D glasses on, watching California fall apart. It's, again, really well done. It was just for a disaster movie, it was pretty darn good. Come on, it's got Dwayne Johnson in it. It's got The Rock in it. How can you not like a disaster movie with The Rock in it? I mean, it was awesome. But one of the things that was so interesting about this movie is it was showing a lot of really catastrophic stuff happening. Obviously, it's about the San Andreas fault and what happens when it goes buggy. And one of the things that was really drawn to my attention in all of that was the fact that for those of us who work in this field and get the opportunity to see some rather alarming things that are going to happen around the world, sometimes watching a disaster movie is kind of like reliving a dream that you had, only it's got way better CG and way better plot lines because, you know, real disasters are just pretty traumatic. And there's a lot of people dying and nothing is really, you know, moving the plot forward except for the earth opening up. But I'm watching this and I'm watching people watch this. And I got to thinking, why are we so obsessed with our demise? I really have pulled out of the ethers lately in my work this need that people have had. It's a need for society to kind of reboot itself and start again. I think there is this subconscious desire for people's lives to slow down and for the money system to get reset and for the priorities to get reset. You know, when I look at us as a society, it's more like we're on this unbelievable roller coaster that just keeps going around and around and around. We keep trying to slow the ride down or get off, and it doesn't really look like there's much of an opportunity to do that for us. So I think we have these weird secret desires for things to fall apart. And you guys, we don't have to go there. We can change society without a disaster to interrupt it. And again, waiting for a disaster to interrupt our life because it's too busy is kind of like the I'm too busy excuse. That's crazy. I mean, at any time, we can change where we lay our time. So why are we waiting for a disaster to reset our society? Come on, you guys know that I've heard this talk, even in my metaphysical community. I'm sure you guys have heard this talk around the proverbial water cooler, so to speak, where people say, well, I really don't think it's the worst thing in the world if a tidal wave hits the earth, you know, hits the West Coast, hits the East Coast. I think getting back to the basics in this country would be something we really need to do. I mean, it's just the most bizarre ramble, as if we need a natural disaster to reset ourselves. I mean, honestly, that's just crazy. We don't need a natural disaster to reset ourselves. We just don't. Guys, we don't. How about we take some initiative and we start making changes? Again, see Tomorrowland. Please see Tomorrowland. Why don't we make some changes in our money system? Why don't you vote with your dollar? There's an idea. If there are practices in this nation that you don't care for, and there is money backing those practices, don't put your money there. You know, nobody is forcing you to shop places. We can make change, even in our everyday neighborhoods. You know, we can go out there. I'll periodically go out and just pick trash out of the gutters in my neighborhood. Not because anybody's making me. I'm a little OCD, so I'll own that. But the other thing is, too, I mean, why not? I'm sitting out. I got nothing to do for the next 5 minutes. I'm looking across the street. We have a high school next to our house. And kids will walk and throw cups and whatever. And I'll just pick it up. And one day, one of my neighbors came over and said, you know, I've noticed that you pick the garbage up. That's really cool. And I said, well, it's out there. And if I see it, I'm not going to stare at it and not pick it up. You know, that's kind of a weird thing. But think about this. How many times do we look right at something and we don't make it right? We look right at something and we say, I'll get to it later. Or that's not my problem. Or I don't have to deal with that. Okay, let's take the Wendy's cup in the gutter here. All right. It's across my street. It's not in my parking space. It's in front of the neighbor's house. It's been sitting there for 3 days. It's got 75,000 tire tracks on it. It's crushed into oblivion. It's not in front of my house, so technically, is it my problem? Well, technically, it's a City of Billings problem because it's in the gutter, so that's actually a street sweeper issue. Yet I'm looking at this stupid thing every day when I sit on my patio. And it's highly likely that my neighbor can't even see it from their vantage point because it's hidden, you know, in front of their curb. But I can see this thing. Now, I can sit there and stare at it indefinitely and say, wow, I really wish my neighbor would somehow realize that there's a smashed cup in their gutter that they probably can't see out their front window and go pick it up since it's right in front of their house and not my house. But I'm the one who's being bothered by it because I can see it. So this is called onus, guys. The onus is on me to go across the street and pick it up because it's bugging me. If we did this more in society, spiritually, look at the things that are bothering you in your neighborhood. Look at the things that are bothering you in your life. Even if it's not necessarily, you know, in your jurisdiction of the street, if all it means is picking something up or saying something to someone else, do it. You know, spiritual physics dictate that our life is going to reflect our everyday practices. That is really true. And yes, we can have some slow days. And oh, we got a caller. This is most fabulous. Caller, thanks for phoning in. You are on Sight Unseen. I am your host, Danielle Agnew. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Danielle. This is Kim from Billings.
Kim from Billings. How are you, darling?
I'm good. And you, dear?
I am doing most outstanding. Thank you for asking. Well, Kim, what can I do for you tonight?
Well, I wanted you to kind of tune in. I was dating a guy named Tim a couple of years ago, and we had a big disagreement, fight, whatever. And I haven't heard from him since. Do you get a sense of anything with him? Or is he just, like, totally gone?
Are you talking about you haven't heard from him for 2 years?
Well, I've heard from him off and on, but he's dating another gal and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff.
You know, darling, I see that this person, whatever you guys got into a disagreement about, really did push his buttons hugely.
Really?
And whatever it was, I have no idea what it was. They're not telling me, but they did show me it pushed his buttons hugely. And he does seem to be, you know, hanging in there, dating somebody, whoever or whatnot. I see a lot of non-resolution here on both of your parts, though. I don't really. The angel who walks through life path, he's telling me that he's not, this angel is telling me that this man is not necessarily resolved with the outcome that you guys had.
Like, what do you mean resolved?
Well, it looks like you guys got into a big blowout here, and there was a lot of misunderstanding in the blowout, and that misunderstanding...
Right, exactly.
Okay. And that misunderstanding looks like it was never really cleared up. It just looked like everybody clammed up, and that was it.
Well, and, he wouldn't let me. He wouldn't even let me try to.
Okay, there you go. So, there, whatever was said or whatever happened, it's not a good guy, bad guy thing at all. It just seems that there were some buttons that got deeply pushed there and he just shut down. But there looks like there's a lack of resolution to whatever you said, darling, that hit him in the way that it hit him. There's a lack of resolution there for him. So his way of resolving that is to not deal with it. It's to say, nope, I'm just going to push it over there. I don't need to deal with this, whatever. Even though it's still kind of eating at him underneath there. Do you guys ever talk? Because I don't even see that you really are in contact.
Oh, yeah. Well, we text here and there.
Okay.
And, you know, I see him on the internet and stuff different times. And I talk to him, but he's just kind of, he's nice, but he's distant. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to see him again, if I was going to be able to resolve this again, you know, whatever, because I really liked him. I mean, we had a great time.
You know, Dolly, you
but
might...
But I feel it was just a big misunderstanding.
It looks like one. And, I mean, it doesn't look like you guys really have had an opportunity to visit, I mean, to really talk. I mean, it's cool to text and whatever. I guess, you know, that to me is sort of passing communication, which is very valid. However, if you really feel like there's something that you need to get off your chest to him, you know, that does not require a response, you know, you can always give him a, you know, a written documentation of what you wish to say. Now, I am seeing whatever this was shut him down pretty hard. And mm-hmm. he would be a little bit open to understanding where you were coming from on a couple of what you were talking about here. And so it may be intimidating for him. They're showing me for you to just say, hey, here I am. I want to talk about this thing. But even if you felt if it was an email, a letter, whatever, you know, a way to get your message to him just so he understands where you were coming from. Because he doesn't seem like he dislikes you. He just seems like he doesn't want to broach that issue at all.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Because he doesn't know what to say.
Right. And I, you know, I think, like I said, I think it was just a big misunderstanding, but yet he won't let me clear it up.
You know, and again, I do see some embarrassment here. I don't know what the issue is. They're not telling me. They are showing me that there is some embarrassment here around whatever this issue would have been.
Okay. And, with him?
Well, just a little, yeah, with a little bit there. And I think maybe how he took it or how he handled it. There's a little embarrassment
right here.
So
right.
It's kind of like, well, maybe if I just don't ever bring this up again, this will just go away and I'll never have to deal with this again. But it does look like you have an opportunity to clear things up here. Whatever you guys decide to do with your own relationship, that's up to you. But I am seeing that you do have an opportunity, if you'd like, to be able to actually get in there and let him know where you are coming from. And and at least he will have that information. So maybe the next time you text him or run into him, then it wouldn't be so awkward.
Okay. Yeah, because he doesn't live here. He lives in another state.
There you go. So,
yeah.
You know,
so it's just really hard to get a hold of him. And then if you, you know, if I text or something, that's why I wanted to talk to him live, because then a lot of times that is misunderstood as well.
Well, exactly. This more seemed like a letter, like a written piece rather than a text. You know, either you spoke to him and left something on his answering machine if he wasn't picking up, or you wrote a letter, because this is detail. It's not a text. So, you know, if you feel compelled to just explain and say, hey, listen, just for the, you know, there's no agenda here. I'm not trying to get you back or whatever. I feel badly about this really went sideways. And I just want you to understand where I was at, just so I can put this to rest, because the non-resolution is awkward.
Okay. So do you think I'm going to see him again, or do you think it's just totally over?
You know, I think this would be your best bet to seeing him again. If things, it appears as though he thinks things are done. So I don't know that he would put any effort in that way without some sort of communication, this angel is saying, that would change the situation. Because he just thinks it's done. He thinks you guys are done. So according to the angel who walks with his life path, he perceives this as something that's been completed. So so if you, you know, if you go ahead and... But again, it's a written letter. Even if you just leave him a voicemail and say, look, I know this is kind of coming out of the blue, but it's just been bugging me that this kind of got so out of hand. And just, it is what it is, and here it is. But yeah, it's at this time he is viewing the situation as completed or as at an impasse.
Okay. All right.
But this is the cool thing about communication, Kim. And anybody listening, here's the deal. You know, relationships, you guys, they are 80% hard work, communication, free will, willingness to compromise, and about, you know, 20% astrological signs, past life, pheromones, you know, all that. So we learn our best lessons, Kim, with people. And, you know, you do have an opportunity to bring a new energy into this situation. If you guys were to start up again, let's just say if, it looks like you would start up again under a very different energy signature. And it would be, you know, rebuilding trust in a different way and whatnot. So, you know, if it's really bothering you, darling, and this is for anybody out there, if there's anything that's really bugging you in a situation and you want to get it off your chest and you release any sort of, well, gosh, if I say this, then he'll date me, or, you know what I mean? Any sort of outcome, and you're doing it strictly for the reason that you are bothered by the lack of completion here, then that is authentic to you. And in that authenticity, it is likely to at least be heard differently, regardless of what his response is to it.
Okay. Alrighty.
So I would give her, you know what, it never helps if you feel like you misrepresented yourself at one time or another, love. It never helps. It never hurts if that's bothering you to redress that issue and just clarify.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much, dear. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, Kim. You keep being a rock star under this big sky.
Yeah, okay. You too, dear.
Thank you,
alrighty,
love.
Thank
you take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Guys, I love taking your calls. I especially love relationship questions. They are complicated, yet at the same time, what we have to look forward to is the knowledge that our communication is the rudder for all things. So remember that. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Agnew. This is Sight Unseen. Don't go anywhere. Sight Unseen. We'll be right back.
There is a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years,
and it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Hey, psychic and medium Danielle Agnew here. It's that time of year, we're ramping into the holidays, and with that comes the holiday stress. Sleepless nights because your brain won't shut down. My meditation CD, Creation Whispers, is a massage for the mind. I've composed a musical canvas that specifically inspires theta waves in the brain, which triggers the deep relaxation that's necessary to fall asleep. Download my album, Creation Whispers, from iTunes today and get the rest your body is craving. Also available on CD at Barjons in downtown Billings.
Hey there, it's Rebecca from Fit Body Bootcamp Billings. We've got a new way of working out that can burn more fat and make your body more athletic in less time. I'm talking about the Fit Body Bootcamp fat-burning workouts that will do the job of a one-hour traditional workout in only 30 minutes. Our secret sauce is how we create the afterburn effect with combined resistance training and cardio to make sure you burn more fat after each session. Try our 21-day Fat Loss Inferno program to see for yourself. You'll get our exclusive program with our Fit Body Jumpstart Nutrition Plan. Call 850-8459 to reserve your spot. New members only, please.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
Fit Body Bootcamp. Billings. Mind. Body. Life. Actual clients. Tell their stories.
My biggest success, going from a size 34 to a size 30 for my pants and losing 25 pounds.
I went from 25% body fat down to 15% body fat.
I have lost 45 pounds.
Fit Body Bootcamp Billings. 601 24th Street West in Westgate Village. Be the change you want to see. And now, back to Sight Unseen.
Hey guys, welcome back to Sight Unseen, only on mtradio.net, broadcasting from the big sky country of Billings, Montana. Loving it, gang, loving it. We are already all the way through almost June. We have blown through June, and I'm getting ready to take a great big trip. Continue to listen in on Wednesdays, please, on site, you know, for Sight Unseen. We've got some really great handpicked best of episodes that I think you'll enjoy that are pertinent to what we have going on. So, you know, it's going to be great. So stick around for the rest of the half of this show, gang. This is my way that I love to give back to you guys. I love to give back to you guys, and I love to take your calls, and I love the chat room questions. And, you know, if you do have a question out there, whether it's about life, love, your life path, whatever you're doing, call me up, because I've found that a lot of times when you guys call, there are other listeners who benefit from your calls. They do. People who are like, oh my God, I was wondering what to do in my life about that issue. And then I tuned in and somebody called from Alabama, and wow, that really totally made my day. So if you're listening and you want to ask a question, or you just want to weigh in on the fact that we are missing time, not only are we missing time, but we are also finding that it's necessary to start to draw boundaries with our time, okay, and go into authenticity with that, give me a call. Let's talk about this whole time wonk and this wonkulicious time Sunday at area code 406-545-4496. Option one on the switchboard that shoots you over to the studio here for Sight Unseen. That's 406-545-4496. Option one. Or hit me up with your questions, guys, in the chat room. You can go to mtradio.net/chat and just log in there, pick a name, any name, and ask me your questions. I do love that. I do indeed. You know, gang, before the break and before our wonderful caller, we were talking about why do we feel like we need an excuse like a natural disaster to change the course of our world? Why do we feel like that? I find that fascinating. And, you know, we as humans, what are we just going to sit here in this lazy state until the world is ruined because we have no more clean water and we've ruined out the oceans and everything is dashed against the rocks and we're forced to start over? I mean, that is the guys, that is making a decision. Not to decide is to decide. Okay. That is a famous French saying. And if we choose to not do anything about our surrounding or our life or our world, then we're just sitting here saying, well, I choose to be the victim of whatever comes my way. And that is a choice. Why we feel like we can't make a difference, I have no idea. If you want to reconnect with how you can make a difference and why every single human being matters and counts, please rent Selma. Selma, about Martin Luther King. My wife and I watched that the other day, and it was unbelievable. With obviously it's Martin Luther King. It's about an incident that happened in Selma. And we all know the story there. Many of us may not. But watch this film, because this didn't happen all that long ago, you guys. It happened in 1963 to 1965. Happened in 1965, actually, the movie. That wasn't that long ago, okay? That was 4 years before I was born. Now, granted, if I were a guitar and I was 46 years old, I'd be worth a lot of money, let me tell you. Especially if I was a Gibson or a Fender. However, you think about 1965. That was 40 some odd years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. That was not that long ago. But if you want to know how one person and a movement around one singular agenda can be so impactful, watch Selma. You know, and we have become so lazy, you guys. Oh, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart with how lazy we've become. We have so many gifts in this nation. And I'm speaking for Americans here, guys. Obviously, I'm American, so I'm speaking from an American perspective if you're listening somewhere else in the world. We've become so lazy here in America. And guys, it's heartbreaking. We're like a bunch of trust fund babies that don't know what to do with ourselves because everything is at our fingertips, our iPhones, our apps. You know, our Insta food at the convenience store, everything is at our fingertips. So why try? Or someone else will do it. So why should we do it? Or why should we believe in making change? Because that just means that some politician is going to get in there and take the money that I'm donating and, you know, use it for a hooker. I mean, you know, this is where we go. We have become so jaded. And it is our own attitude that ceases change in this nation. It's our own attitude. And I don't want, guys, I don't want to hear it. I'm a Montanan. Do not lay me down your excuses. I don't want to hear it about, well, what about all the big money that's stolen from the little people and we're just oppressed and our vote doesn't matter anyway. And will you watch Selma, please? Watch Selma. Just watch Selma. You guys, if you really believe here in America that you can no longer make a difference, then the people who are trying to run this country with the almighty dollar have won. Congratulations, you have just handed over your consciousness to these people. That's what they want you to believe. They want anybody listening, I don't care if you're in America, England, Australia, New Zealand, Oslo, Norway, I don't care where you're listening in on today. If you believe that someone is going to come and save you from your own life and someone is going to come save history from its trajectory, you are incorrect. We are what stands between global annihilation and consciousness annihilation or not. Not the big money, not the magic activists, not the politicians. Believe it or not, you guys, there are actually really good politicians out there. They are not all dirtbags, okay? There are some huge dirtbags who are politicians. But, you know, an apple is a fruit. Not all fruits are apples. Please apply that rule to people who are attempting to make change. If all we do is sit in a bucket of disdain and jadedness and look at our nation and say, nothing's going to change, and look at our world and say, it's up to somebody else, I don't make a difference. My one singular action makes no difference whatsoever. You are wrong. Everybody's actions matter. And we have been summarily cut off from that awareness as we have bought into the fact, we've bought into it. We've bought in that the big machine rules everything. You know, we have bought into the idea that we can make no difference at all. That is not true. Please see Selma. See Selma, see Selma. That is the song of the hour. See Selma. Because in 1965, people, what is our excuse, America? America, what is your excuse? What is our excuse for laying back on allowing fracking to happen? What is our excuse for laying back and allowing our groundwater to be polluted? What is our excuse for laying back with this rampant racism and this horrific poverty that is sweeping our country? What is our excuse when we have such a way to connect with people? In 1965, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. You want to organize a march from Selma to Montgomery? It's called getting on the phone. It's called hope to God you get some TV time. Come on, you guys. We can make a difference. Start small. Start in your area of your neighborhood. Pick up the cup across the street that you see in the gutter. And get rid, please, abandon this entitlement attitude that some, it's getting bad over here. I'm an American. I'm a proud American. I'm going to Italy as an American. I'm not obviously moving to another country. That being said, we need to suck it up a little bit. We have become so snivelly over here. It is embarrassing. Oh my God. That's not my job to walk across the street and pick that cup up. That's somebody else's job. How about being a citizen of the universe? How about that? How about picking the cup up because it just looks better for the whole neighborhood? Or how about picking it up because it's garbage? Or how about picking it up to help freaking Mother Earth? You live here. Pick up. How's that? Okay, God. I mean, you guys, we have gotten too separated in our ideologies here. We are what brings change. We bring change $1 spent at a time. We bring change one action made at a time. We bring change one word at a time. We bring change with one piece of participation at a time. If I'm deciding I'm not participating in something, as I talked first half of this show, and I am authentic enough to say, gosh, you know what? That just isn't for me, but thank you very much. I am setting a boundary, and that bound, look at water. If water is rolling down a hill and you set boundaries for it, it directs the water in a certain direction. So is our participation. Our participation is like the boundaries of a riverbank. It's going to direct the flow of energy in any one direction. We are so jaded and terrified to get involved with the cause. Oh my God, what happens if I get involved? And what happens if I actually, while I am involved, something terrible happens? And what happens if I'm a fool is made of me, or the politician I'm backing gets caught, you know, with their hands in the pie, somebody's pie. You know, what happens if this just goes down the tubes and I'm associated with it, and then my hope is made fun of? You know why we don't do more stuff? You know why we don't weigh in more? Well, first of all, we say, I don't have any time, because we don't make the time. Secondly, it's that we are afraid that our hope will lead us into something and make us look stupid. We're afraid if we have hope in a person, in a modality, in a movement, that if we put our hope there and it doesn't work out, we're going to look like idiots. I mean, really, if we were to cut the BS and go right to the bottom line here. And gang, what if we weren't afraid of that? What if we weren't afraid of that? You know, it's funny. We got these elections coming up. I can tell you, presidential elections. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the president is one cog in a very, 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 very big machine that moves with or without the president. However, that person is responsible for rah-rahing the nation. They are. They're responsible for, they're the front guy. They're responsible for making a connection with the people. And that morale matters. And though, yes, it's true that the president doesn't really do as much as one would think they do because there's a big machine that works around the president, and we all know that, duh. But we still have somebody who leads the morale. Or tries. And obviously, you know, we may not agree with that person on every single thing. But to start being so disenfranchised with the whole thing that we do nothing, I mean, if you don't want to vote, don't vote, whatever. But if you don't want to vote, will you please see Selma? Just please see Selma. You might appreciate your vote just a little bit more. Did you know that in 1964, even though it was law that African-American people were supposed to get out there and vote, there were a lot of places in the American South that would not allow them to, even though it was the law. And all these people wanted to do was cast a vote. And I mean, and here we have the opportunity to vote on things and we don't because we say it doesn't count. Yes, there's voting tampering, you guys. That's going to happen. That's life. Yes, things aren't exactly as idyllic as they could be in our political system. I'm not asking you to believe in our political system. I'm asking you to believe in you. Can you believe in you? I'm asking you to believe in your voice. I'm asking you to believe in your power to exact change. Not because you're putting your little Chad in the little hole and you're just, okay, whatever, and someone else will bring change. You can bring change. You can. You think the federal government runs your community? I hate to tell you that, but that's not true. Our communities, wherever you are in the world, are run by the participation of the people who live there. We are coming into a consciousness that is begging people to get off of the emotional and spiritual dole. Please get off of the emotional and spiritual dole. This consciousness that's coming in, you guys, it's our primary design. It's a consciousness of participation. Get out there and do it. 2015 is the year of reconciliation. Put your boots on the ground. Bring who you are into this realm. Make a difference. Stand up. Use your voice. Stand in the gap when things are not going well. Even if it means, oh my God, I've got to get involved. I don't want to get involved. I want to just sleepwalk through my life and eat my McDonald's and rent my Netflix on my Blu-ray. You know, I don't want to get involved. Well, my God, is that really a way to live? Just kind of on the outskirts of everything and who cares what happens? Gang, that's not why you're in a human body. That's not why you're a soul in a human body. That's not why. You know, these angels talking to me right now, we're not talking over here about you don't have to run for president. You don't have to be the mayor of your community. You don't have to be the head of your PTO. Whatever. You don't have to. What you can do is simply be who you are. Just be who you are, and it is enough. And bring yourself to the forefront. Have an opinion. Don't sit back if say you live in an area of the country that's got a lot of oil production, okay, and that's a lot of our country right now. And say you're not so hot on the fracking, but a lot of people's jobs are dependent on the oil wells. And somebody asks you, what do you think of fracking? You know, I hear this all the time.
You know, I just don't like to get involved in these conversations because, you know, it doesn't really do any good.
You don't have to be a jerk. But you could say, you know, it's interesting you'd ask me what I think about fracking. And if this is your opinion, you might say, rock on, you know, drill, baby, drill. That might be your opinion. Then say it. But if that's not your opinion and you say, you know, the thing about fracking that I'm disturbed by is the ramifications on other things. I have nothing against people earning a living through oil. My issue more is water pollution. And it would be great if they could figure that out. You know, the more that people hear that the consciousness is saying, we don't want to take jobs away from people. We don't want people to lose their livelihood. But what we do want is for people to be able to find their voice to bring change. With enough voices hooking together, change comes. And it will come straight to the top with enough voices hooking together. Again, please see Selma. 1965. If these changes and this type of organization could be brought about in a time frame that did not have the help that we have to change the world, there is no excuse, you guys, for us to sit back and just wait for natural disasters to change the course of our American society. Now, I'm speaking strictly for America. I get to go and visit Italy and check out the Mediterranean culture, and I'm very excited about that. I don't live in Italy. I live here in America. And we are such a powerful nation if we choose it. And you know why we're powerful? It's our people that makes us powerful. And we have completely been brainwashed, and we've believed that that's not true. We drank the Kool-Aid, man. We believe that we cannot bring change. Somebody else's job. I am sitting here on an internet radio station in this funky basement where the new station has moved. And it is literally the underground radio station here in Billings now. And I am one person talking about one perspective to whomever is listening right now. And this broadcast will be put into an archive and people can hear it at other times. I am one person. If there's three people listening right now, there are three people that may decide that they want to be inspired to do what they can in their community and to shake off this interesting victim role that a lot of us have put on ourselves. Shake it off. We're not victims. The big machine is not running the show. We're running the show. You know what's really funny about the big machine, you guys? If there's no money fueling it, it ain't running anything. That's kind of the way it goes. So remember, make a difference where you're at. Speak up for what you believe in, whatever that is. You know, and there may be people listening to this broadcast that believe in things that maybe I don't believe in, and I'll speak up for what I believe, and you speak up for what you believe, and maybe that cancels each other out in the consciousness, but at least we are flooding the air and the ethers with authenticity. We're flooding it with authenticity that way. And you kind of can't go wrong that way. You can't go wrong, you guys. You know, I was so moved, obviously. Obviously, I was moved when I saw Selma because I've, you know, said See Selma probably 200 times. That's what this show title is. See Selma. That's today's episode. Because I was so upset about the fact that, you know, we try to have a movement initiated in this country. And our news won't cover it or whatever. Back in the day in 1965, if there was an uprising, the news would cover it. And that was a big part of it. Our news is owned by private entities now. And so media doesn't necessarily cover what the actual news is. But you guys, there's tons and tons of online resources where people are getting their news. Lots and lots. You know, there's Democracy Now. If you're a more conservative person, I'm sure they've got them out there as well. I mean, with that, they're actually reporting on what's happening in the world. I usually go to bbc.com if I want to know what's going on in the world, because our news outlets don't actually, tell the truth all the time, or they'll tell part of the truth, or they'll talk about the truth of the Kardashians while we leave out all of our environmental stuff, whatever. Guys, this isn't meant to be a downer show at all. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. This show is designed to bring the power back to you. You know, when you're saying, that's what the theme of this show is the buck stops with us. If I say I have no time, it's because I don't make time. Nobody makes me do anything. I do what I wish. I make time or I don't. Sometimes I can make mistakes. Own those mistakes, guys. It doesn't make you bad. It makes you human. Congratulations, you are part of the human race. Yay! Figure out where you can make a difference in your community. Don't wait for a natural disaster to change the course of this nation. The ramifications of just sitting back on our butts and waiting for something horrible to happen naturally, the spiritual ramifications and karmic ramifications of us sacrificing our planet and Mother Earth in order to get us over our fear and our emotional laziness, that's really rotten karma, people. Whenever you throw a planet under the bus because you just can't get it together, You think the universal energies are going to be happy about throwing a planet under the bus because you just don't want to make a decision? Come on. We are what brings change. We are what forms the bank of the river so that all change flowing forward comes in a way that is commensurate for all. When we come out of the us against them, that has to stop. White against black, gay against straight. Oh my God, please. We do not live in 1710. Please, people, let us evolve. This is getting embarrassing. Please see Selma. So as we go, look at this horrible tragedy, racial tragedy that happened. It was a toughie that happened, you know, this North Carolina shooting and that racially motivated shooting. I'm sure we've all heard about that like crazy. Was it South Carolina? South Carolina, I want to say. And they are wanting to outlaw the Confederate flag, which I quite frankly think is an excellent idea. And I'll tell you why. If you want to keep a Confederate flag around just to say, oh, remember that time in American history when the South seceded and thought it was its own country for a while and made itself its own country for a while and had its own president. Here is an historical relic and a souvenir of that time frame. No different than me hanging up a Betsy Ross flag with 13 colony stars and a circle in it. You know, that is a representation of our country at that time. However, to hang that flag up to say, I still defy the nation in which I live. I mean, that is our free right, I guess, as Americans, because welcome to America. But honestly, I don't see the need. Now, I'm a Northerner, so I'm going to speak from a Northerner's perspective, but I don't see the need to take a flag that is so divisive. It's divisive. The Confederate flag was a divisive flag. Good Lord, it's an X with stars in it. X. You know, I mean, X yourself off the map. We are seceding. So I don't understand why that would even be relevant. I had a friend of mine up here in Montana who's a northern boy who does not know the southern politics or what really even a Confederate flag stands for. And my friend said, who is a Montana redneck, said, well, I'm going to get myself one of those Confederate flags. And I laughed and I said, you can't fly a Confederate flag. You're a northerner. And what my friend thought the flag meant was like rebel living. Yeah. I'm like, that's not what the flag means, dude. You don't even know what it means because you're from Montana. Good Lord. So again, I'm not hacking on anybody's beliefs here. I'm just saying the flag means a very specific thing. It means I have seceded. I am not part of the system. I am on my own system. So I'm hoping that we, in abolishing that flag or whatever, I don't think it's abolishing our history. I think it's more abolishing a mindset. Because we need to graduate out of that mindset and become part of the oneness of this world, you guys. It's the only way we're going to survive. So bring your beautiful light and your oneness to whomever you can this week. Just bring it in there. Shine. You make a difference. You guys, check me out, of course. Say hi to me on Facebook. I'm at Danielle Agnew on Facebook, EGNEW. Twitter at Danielle Agnew, EGNEW. Check out my website, danielleagnew-advisor.com. And remember, you are what makes a difference in this world. You are not powerless. You shine brightly. You're going to bring change. Use your time wisely. It's the most important currency in the universe. See Selma. See you in 3 weeks.